Smart Troopers, get your DC-15 blasters and slap on your buckets. It's time for custom action figure news with Lucas Clones and Tamer. Now blast those clankers! Go, go, go!
Go on, give it everything you got! Make every shot count!
This is gonna be a tough one, I doubt we'll make it through!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Custom Action Figure News. This is Lucas Clones, and with me, as always, is Sean, better known as Tamer. How are you doing today?
Oh, okay. Hello, everybody.
Hello, and joining us tonight is Jay, also known as Wraith9 on Imperial Shipyards. How are you doing this fine evening?
Pretty good. It's nice and balmy here, and hello, everyone.
And also joining us tonight for the first time is a very special guest, Wookiee Lover 1138, also known as Jen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, thanks. Hi, how are you?
Oh, doing just great. All right, so what we're all joining together tonight is we are going to do a Clone Wars roundup show, and by that I mean we're gonna discuss obviously the season three finale. And we're going to also talk about the Clone Wars show as a whole, the season three as a whole, and what we think is going to be coming up in season four a little bit. And we're also going to be talking about toys a little bit here. But I know that before we get underway with the show, I always want to let Sean have his time to go over any announcement he has. So, Sean, if you have any announcements, go for it, buddy.
All right, thanks, Chad. Let's see, two announcements this evening. The first one is we are continuing our Imperial Shipyards Charity Auctions toy drive for Eli. There is a new button on the top left of the main page that says Charity Auctions that you can check out to find out more information about Eli and that little guy. And, wow, I have to thank the shipyarders and all the great people that we've met as a result of starting that said toy drive. I met a lot of great people and pretty proud of the hobby that I have now as a result of that.
Alrighty. And so, okay, so I guess we're ready to get into the topics of conversation. And I guess I'll go ahead and start it off. And just looking at, Sean, you came up with a gigantic list for us,
And you guys didn't think I was watching the Clone Wars.
Well, yeah, not only are you watching it, Sean, but it's like you're surgically taking it apart, and I find a lot of your observations very fascinating because you make a lot of observations that I just don't even think of. I'm like, wow, how did he think of that? So so the first thing that you had down here was you wanted to know how long the hiatus is for the show. When is it going to start up again? And I'm going to let Jay, because he comes from Great Britain, and his scheduling is a little bit different. Jay, do you know when it's going to start up again?
Well, if it's anything like last time, it will probably start up around about sort of mid-September.
Right, and that's pretty much when it joins up.
I think there's probably about 7 days difference last time it was 24 hours difference. It was 24 hours behind you. So, yeah, about mid-September, I think.
Right, yeah. It was like, I think, I wanted to say this year it was like September 17th or something like that it started up. And I know I was counting down the days to it starting up again, as I'm sure most people were too. So, yeah, that's a pretty easy question to answer there. It usually starts in the fall, and we'll know all about it soon enough because they'll have the date out there for us and they'll start promoting it in about middle of the summer, and so we'll know all about that. So,
or autumn, as everybody in Europe would call it.
Right, right. yeah, it's a little bit different over there. So, all right, well, Sean, did you want to take the next thing? Because there wasn't too much on that one. That was pretty.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. Did you guys happen to see the new Star Wars Insider that I got today? Anybody happen to look at that?
No. I don't tend to see it, unfortunately.
There's a great interview in there with David Filoni, and I thought I read something about that, Chad. I'm trying to flip through it now real quick. I've had a rather interesting day. Let's see, how are things progressing with Season 4? I definitely can say that we're going to start off with a bang, with an opener that's even bigger than last season's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it says there are going to be battles like we've never seen before on the Clone Wars. We're going to environments and battling in places that have previously only been speculated on in the Star Wars. There will also be a classic character or two returning, but of course I'm not going to say who. To me, the whole season is like the back half of Season 3, but now you're going to have all 22 episodes geared in that direction. It's just high-flying adventure fun, and this many years into it, I think we've gotten progressively better at it under George's tutelage. We're ready to go, and it's going to be a heck of a ride next year. So I didn't find a date, but there's a few nuggets.
Oh, yes. Well, why don't you let our guests respond to that, Sean, see what they think about that.
Yeah, hey, who do you think's going to be showing up again, Jen?
Hopefully it's Chewbacca.
Yeah.
I hope so, too. So, well, what did you have about that, Jay? What did you think about that?
I'm just thinking on it. I don't think we will see Chewbacca because they tend to roll out these original trilogy characters sort of one at a time, yeah, and don't tend to revisit them, as it were. I wouldn't be surprised if we've seen Tarkin, we've seen Chewbacca. I'm wondering if we'll see some Rebels this time round. Some of the older Rebels.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
You know, sort of a General Dodonna and stuff like that. It's a bit of a leap, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm just trying to read this real quick, guys. I haven't really a good chance to digest this yet, but looking like Count Dooku is going to see some episode time. This is a quote from Filoni, too. It says, whether that's to the level he was in the past is hard to say at this point. Well, it's actually not hard to say. I just can't. So that's kind of a little nugget where he's purposefully not answering that question. So it's looking like we're going to see more of Dooku.
And he says out of there, his silence is a thunderous, as we say.
Yeah. Well, you know, go ahead, Sean.
I mean, there's something in here about, you guys keep going, I'll see if I can find it. There's something in here about Chewbacca, though. I'll see if I can find it. Jen might like to hear that. And there's something in here about Tarkin, too. So I'll see if I can peruse that as we're getting into this roundup and see if I can give out any more nuggets as we go through this.
Well, you know, Sean, I wanted to say, based on what you just said, that Dave Filoni was on the Force Cast last Wednesday, and he did say on there, he didn't say much, but he did say that they were planning on bringing some people back that had shown up and tying up some of those stories. So I have a question for Jen, actually. If they were to bring Chewbacca back, as it sounds like from Sean's Star Wars Insider article, what would you like to see him do in Season 4? What would you like to see the Chewbacca do? Or what adventures would you like to see him get into, in other words?
Well, it seems like he was kind of young in Wookiee Hunt, so I would like to see more of his backstory, more of, like, him growing up and becoming the Wookiee that we all know him as.
All right, very good. And what about him meeting up with Yoda or going to Kashyyyk? Would you like to see any of that stuff happen?
Oh, definitely, yes. Like, how him and Yoda met, how him and Tarful met. Maybe, actually, he met Tarful in the last episode on Wookiee Hunt because he was just passing by and got his message that he sent.
All right, very cool. All right, well, let's see here. So, The next thing that you had, Sean, and I know you're sitting there trying to read that and get some stuff, is I'll go ahead and start on the next topic, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the next thing that Sean put down for us, and I would have asked the same exact question if he hadn't beaten me to it. he said, "What do you folks think overall of season 3?" And he says for himself that he loved the darker storylines and the trilogy format. But at the same time, you had to shield your 4-year-old's eyes a little bit. So Jay, I'm going to start with you. What did you think overall of season 3?
Overall of season 3. Well, I've had this discussion quite a bit with a friend of mine, SithLord29, and at the moment we believe season 3 is a bit of a damp squib. It was promised a lot and didn't really deliver. I've asked several people who've seen season 3 and they actually rank it last out of 1, 2 and 3 of all the seasons. I think there's some gems in there. There's definitely some gems in there, but I think unfortunately the Senate episodes really did spoil it a bit. So good, close but no cigar, I'm afraid.
Alrighty, and Jen, how about you? What do you think of season 3?
Well, excuse me, I'm on the opposite end. I actually think that this season was the best so far. And while I normally like to see more Jedi stuff, the way they portrayed the stories this season kind of got me liking the dark side just a little bit.
Very cool, very cool. And I know that I agree with you, Jen. I think it was the best season yet. And given the second half of the season, I'm willing to sort of chalk up and forget about, you know, some of the political episodes. However, there was one episode, one of those political episodes that... There, even while the episode was a little dry, there was something fascinating in it, and I think it was Pursuit of Peace, and there was a little hint at the end of Palpatine, kind of in his role as the Chancellor, showing a little bit of his Sidious side, and I forget exactly what happened. I've been meaning to go back and rewatch the episode, but I would like to see actually. That's okay. I'd actually like to see a little bit more of that. And Jay, if you have some more details on that,
that was the conversation he had with Masameda,
right?
At the end, when he said that, you know, how can one voice turn the whole thing? And then Masameda said, "Well, what are you going to do now?" Which gave the hint that Masameda actually knew he was Sidious,
right? Right. Yeah,
which was a bit of a shocker.
Yes, and I remember I listened to the roundtable on that one by the Force Cast, and they actually had Dave Filoni, and they were asking him about that, and of course he didn't neither confirm nor deny that as well. But I think it's something that I know that I thought about it quite a lot, and you know, you have to wonder if there is anyone that knows he's Darth Sidious, who would he actually trust to know that? Because you would think he wouldn't want anybody to know that he's Darth Sidious, you know.
I was just thinking, actually, if you go to Revenge of the Sith, Masameda seems to be very comfortable with Sidious as once Order 66 is enacted, if you're with me.
Right.
He doesn't seem particularly perturbed by the fact that, you know, he ends up having this battle with Yoda at all.
Quite the contrary. He's rather calm, and he seems to know that when he sees Yoda walk into that room, he's like, oh, time to go. Did you notice that yourself, Jen? Did you happen to see that episode and notice that yourself?
Yeah. I'll be honest though, with the political episodes, when I saw those, I'll be honest, guys, I was thinking I was going to be forced to endure the Clone Wars for how many ever long until the live TV show came out. But these last trilogy type episodes just breathed new life into the Clone Wars for me, and I'm going to have to side with Jen here and think that those trilogies they did with the Savage Opera's trilogy and the Mortis trilogy and Citadel trilogy and of course the season finale, it's not really a trilogy, but I mean, I'll be honest, I really did not spend a whole lot of time really getting into it and dissecting it. until really that season finale, then going back to take a look. So if they side along those lines, I think we're in good hands. But if they start to try to do more of that political type stuff, and I know it's good to try to get into that higher level intrigue, but I think when you're dealing with kids and you know, people like me that have intellect like kids, then I think you're going to have to keep that action going. Or
you're in good company, then.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, that was it. I mean, I was loving those action packed episodes, and of course you killed off Echo, and I'm still having trouble getting over that. But
I think he should be punished for that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably received some hate mail.
Well, did you see his big statement that he put out the night, or I think it was like the week after that episode, he put out this big statement.
Excuse me.
I think it was on Facebook about Echo and how, you know, it's hard when you see a hero die and all that. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, yeah. You know, I understand it is war, and you know, your beloved soldiers are going to die, but I just wish so many beloved ones didn't have to die.
As
poor
I know,
Echo.
Yes, I know. It's a major bummer. If I can just briefly expand, I mean, obviously I'm in the minority here. There's something obviously about being British, then we're just a bit more picky. But season three, it wasn't a total disaster. I just, I think putting the block of the Senate episodes in really did it some harm, if you would like.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you there, Jay.
I also have a problem with the Mortis trilogy. It was good, but the problem is it stuck out a bit like a sore thumb, in so much as it didn't sort of relate to anything in the season, as it were. It could have almost been a standalone mini film on its own, I thought it was very highbrow, especially for a kids show. I could see a lot of kids being a bit overwhelmed by all the mythology of it. But yeah, definitely the second season was definitely a highlight compared to the middle of it.
And something while you know, Jay's talking about the Mortis trilogy, kind of the feeling I got is, whether it was Filoni or some of the writers or the people who were putting that together, I kind of got the feeling that maybe we were dealing with kind of a Star Wars Lord of the Rings type thing with that particular trilogy. Did anybody notice the look of Mortis's tower?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of references to Lord of the Rings in that.
Mm. If that didn't look like Orthanc, then, you know, I'm not living in the backwoods of West Virginia.
Well, no, definitely. Definitely. And the mythology was very much in the vein of a Tolkien novel. So,
even that glowing orb in the sky reminded me of Saruman's eye in the sky. Or not Saruman, but Sauron's eye in the sky a little bit. Because it was, you know, it was like at the top of the tower, and then it had that glowing orb effect, you know.
Yeah, and that brings me into my next question, and Jen, I'll start with you. I just, you know, I guess maybe a segue into Padawan Lost and Wookiee Hunt. Have you guys, you know, Jen, we'll start with you, noticed how many, how can I say this, like movie spinoffs that he uses in those episodes? And personally, I love it, like with all the Transdotion stuff, and Jay was the first person pointing out to me, actually, with all the Predator and Hard Target knockoffs. I love that stuff, like they did with the Xylo Beast and Godzilla. Jim, what do you think about all that?
I noticed that, and I liked it, and Felipe actually kind of reminds me of a Na'vi-type world from Avatar. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but
yeah,
I think it's cool. I mean, it's nice to see somebody else's take on an environment that's already been done, and that's all right by me. It's very interesting, and the story's good, and that's why I like Star Wars.
A variation on the theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I know, Sean, you watched the episodes early, and I myself waited to watch them until they premiered over here,
Chad, you weren't supposed to tell anybody I cheated. Come on, man.
Sorry. But you and me, and we were going back and forth on Facebook about that, and I noticed the Predator reference almost right away, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yeah.
It was funny. I was just like, oh, this is totally the Predators, you know, which...
Yeah, from the trophy room to the grunting and clicking, and then you've got Ahsoka hiding underneath that log while, I guess was named Garnak, was trying to say she's going to die. I was like, that's just Predator, hands down. And I like Filoni paying tribute to some of my favorite movies.
So do I. I really like the movie homages. I think it's cool that they do that.
Yeah, definitely. You get no argument out of me. Some of the best season 2 episodes were the homage episodes, easily. So, and I like Predator anyway. So, it was, although there was a Predator reference in there, I thought the episode itself was very, very good.
I agree.
Definitely. All right. Well,
sounds cool. Everybody agreed with me.
All right. Well, and Sean, and you had also on that, you were asking about the Trandoshans and the portrayal of them, and you had an extra question hung on the end there about if you thought that there would be any figures made from it, and I didn't know if you wanted to throw that one out there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good Lord, I hope so. I saw about 4 or 5, and I'm not the Clone Wars guy. The rest of you are slowly warming me back up to it again. But did you guys... I just noticed a new one that I didn't even know from last time. Like the one... I think it was the first Trandoshan that shot the net on Ahsoka and Padawan Lost. He looks like a character from The Big Lebowski.
Really?
Yeah, he looks like the big bowler dude. And I'm not real familiar with that movie, but I found that movie was very hilarious. But it's like there's that one, and then there's the and I apologize, folks, if I offend anybody with this, but I thought it was really cool. I call him the San Diego Chargers Trandoshan. I loved him, and I know Dave Filoni's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So hey, Dave, if you're listening to this, how about a Pittsburgh Steelers Trandoshan?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, or a Mandalorian. I can handle those colors on that armor, too. Oh, well. But, yeah, I hope we see all of the gear that those guys get. Don't you? Jim, what do you think about that?
I agree with you. I totally agree. I love the black and the gold, and I think they'd be really good colors for a Mando or Trandoshan. So, definitely.
All right.
Jay, how many different Trandoshans did you note?
Well, I'm just trying to think. You had the pilot, you had the co-pilot from the original ship, you had the Trandoshan, as I like to call them, who captured her. So you're talking three. I reckon you're looking at about 7 or 8 of them.
Then we have Garnak. We don't have to forget him.
Yeah, as well. If Hasbro doesn't bring out any Trandoshan figures, then they'll be hearing from me, definitely. I mean, if I could lay my hands on some Clone Wars Bosks, I would be customizing like a loony. So, yes, I love the look of the Trandoshans. I love the fact that their behavior was very raptor-like as well.
And Sean, I just had an instant message from Luke Skywalker, and he said he's in your camp with wanting to see the. He calls them Wookiee hunting vehicles. You call them skiffs. But I call them crazy redneck hunting speeders.
hey guys, I've got a real... Hold on a second. I've got a real name for them. I have a real name. They are called...
Star Wars Jed Clampett Mobiles.
No, they're called... Are you guys ready for the nomenclature? Cool.
Yes.
They're called MSP-80 Pterodopters.
Pterodactyls.
Huh. Yes,
it's like a dinosaur name.
P T E R O P T O R.
I know how I'd pronounce that. Trandoshan hoverpods.
But I agree with Chad. I think you put a couple gun racks in those bad boys, and I think you can get some backwoods folks. You know, they'll be buying them for their kids. Come on, Filoni, make those things.
Well, they got.
Well, let's face it, they're mini rig material, aren't they? Definitely.
Well, amen.
They got the definitely. Big flood lamps on the top. That just that's when I first saw them. I just looked at the and I was like, oh, it just looks like a pickup that's out in the mud bog. And Luke Skywalker just said, can't you see a deer laid across the back?
Full of horns on the front. Was it?
Yeah. Those would be cool to have, though. Definitely. Definitely.
Well, I mean, they're really cool because they have, like, it seemed like most of them I saw had the neat, like, facial features painted on the front of them. That's just a big old gun.
Yeah, customized.
And there, how many different? There were like I know at least three of them that we saw from the one they kind of borrowed to the one that they kind of got into and Chewbacca turned over when they first started their fight. Kind of getting a little ahead of ourselves, I know. And then there's the other one that they kind of threw up against the other Trandoshans. Whenever the Wookiee Commandos showed up, so I know there's at least three of them. But man, the one I think Jay hit the nail on the head. I think if you could make some mini rigs, and give us one or two Trandoshans, with each one of those, I think those things would sell like the Clone Wars Delta Squad if that rumor is true.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I could see a Padawan lost battle pack to follow as well.
Well, they could take one of those skiffs. They could make one of those skiffs, throw it in a battle pack, and put two or three Trandoshans in there. And I think that would be a cool, way to do it instead of just selling it separately, but make like a battle pack with this, like kind of like what they did with the Hoth battle pack that they put out back in August. It had like a speeder and an E-Web, and it had Darth Vader and two a snowtrooper and a Hoth scout. I think they could do something like that. That would be cool.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You'll have to promote that on the Kessel Run review, Badger Hasbro.
Oh, we'll get our Q&A back, Jay, and I can badger him myself.
Ah, actually, I'd like to bring something up on the Q&A. bit of an ambush. I was listening to the Forcecast Collectors edition podcast this afternoon, and the consensus of opinion with Dan Curto, James Burns, is that the Q&A will not return.
Yeah, they've said that a couple of times, and they do have a poll on there that they do also. I'm sure you're aware of that, right, Jay? They do a poll on like what characters you want made. And I do know that Hasbro does listen to the poll, so at least there is a voice for figures. But
I think it would be a shame if it doesn't.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think there's a fan that doesn't.
Sorry about that, guys. I thought just
yeah, I'm going to say, I mean, that's definitely a topic that maybe we can talk about, in the future, kind of definitely. But I agree with you. It would be a shame to see that go. But, I see that we kind of segued a little bit into another one of my questions. And Chad, maybe I'll start with you on this one, if you don't mind.
Well, that's fine.
Besides that great Trando mini rig skiff that we just talked about, what other products would you like to see get made from Season 3? Some of your big standouts, and then we can bat that one around.
Well, Sean, I'm with you on this. I need a gunship, because I don't have one. And, I didn't, when they were coming out with gunships the last, 8 years or whatever, I just never picked one up. And there was a time where I wasn't collecting Star Wars figures very much at all. And I need a gunship. And I think you had down here that you'd like the nose art from the Citadel Rescue, LAAT, the one that Plo Koon was in. But I sure would like that one Ki-Adi-Mundi had in Landing at Point Rain with that, I think it was like a clone trooper helmet on the front. It kind of looked like a skull. I thought that thing was cool, man. That's what I'd like to see.
I'm going to have to go back and look at that, Chad, because it sounds cool. I don't quite remember that nose art, but it's been so long since I've watched that one. But, yeah, and that's another thing. It seems like a no-brainer to me that, you know, if you look at eBay and look at the, you know, Republic gunship prices, I mean, they're hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
Yeah, for even with today's economy, and it's just like, man, why would they not slap some new nose art on one of those guys and put them back out in the stores and watch them fly off the shelves again?
Well, I mean,
especially the Clone Wars one, right. The Tiger Shark, goes for absolutely stupid money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Lucky Leku, I think, is the name of that one. And that Crumb Bomber, there was actually two, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about the Tiger Shark one.
Oh yeah, that was
the first
Saga
Tiger.
2 version, yeah, from the first anime, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but on what I was talking about, Sean, was on. If you go back and you watch Landing at Point Rain, there's a part where all the Jedi's and their troops are getting ready to embark, and they're going to, you know, head off to their rendezvous point. And there's a part where Ki-Adi-Mundi is talking to, I think, to Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's standing on the gunship, and I think Obi-Wan says something like, "Hey, good luck," and Ki-Adi-Mundi just looks at him and says, "There's no such thing as luck," and then the door closes, and you see that helmet really cool, really quick in it, and then it takes off, you know, with all those cool clones behind him, because he's got the coolest ones. He's got those Spec Ops clones, which are awesome.
What do you think, Jen? What do you want to see?
I'm sorry.
I said besides Chewbacca, of course.
Well, I'd like to see Sugi and her ship.
Oh yeah.
Padawan's battle pack.
Ooh.
The gunners from Padawan Lost and Delta Squad.
Oh yeah.
And every character from the Force Wielders trilogy with dioramas.
Are you psychic, Jen?
Maybe.
You just read my mind.
Well, Sean, what about you? What characters would you like to see?
Oh, well, okay, well,
besides Trandoshans, okay. Of course.
Yeah. And I know this is going to probably be in the vast minority here, but you guys know how I feel about anything Walker. And I guess we're going to have to get a season 4 and maybe get back to Felucia to get this, but I want to see an AT-OT. You know, that big open canopied Walker that we saw in Revenge of the Sith. And I was so hoping at the beginning of Padawan Lost that instead of being an ATTE, that was going to be an ATOT, and it wasn't, but, you know, I'll try to get over that. But, okay, the question, I guess, was for things that we actually saw from this past season. So, I guess just figure-wise, and this is, you know, Wraith Nine's fault, Jay's fault, we're going to have to see that wolf in that new armor scheme that we saw when he's jumping up over the side of that droid, the base.
Well, who knows? I might make more realistic interpretations of the Clone Wars characters and clones.
Oh, I know. I love that wolf that you made. That was real cool.
Yeah, I was really pleased with how that turned out. I mean, that was I went out on a limb with that one. I wasn't quite sure. I sacrificed an armor trooper to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like you're... I mean, I was even talking about the one that you made before you made that wolf for Season 4 from that image that was supposedly leaked. I like both of those. I'd like to see both of those wolves get made, as well as some of Wolf's squad mates, so to speak. I think that's just a no-brainer. Battle pack!
Yeah, definitely. I think a wolf pack battle pack. I mean, what do you reckon, Jen? I think that would be a big seller.
I'd definitely pick one of those up.
Yeah, I think you, me, and the rest of the universe would.
I figured Jen might say Sith Eyes Ahsoka. What do you think about that one, Jen?
Ooh, I didn't even think of that one. Definitely tamer.
Yeah, I mean, it's only going to be a repaint, isn't it? So Come on, Hasbro.
A repaint we want. Come on.
We actually want this repaint, please.
Oh, but can I? Let's talk. Let's see. What vehicle besides those skiffs did I see that I really wanted to? I do agree that Sugi's ship, and they've already made a Lego version of that. I don't know why we can't get a another version of it.
It's not that big either, is it?
Yeah, certainly
about gunship scale, I would say. Certainly not any bigger than that.
Yeah, yeah. They could fit it in that $25 price range rather easily, I think.
What do you reckon, Jen?
Yeah, I think it would probably be like $25, $35. It's about gunship size. I would agree with you on that. Mm-hmm.
Right. There we go, another one.
What about a Trandoshan Trophy Room Battle Pack?
Oh, that would be cool.
Yes, that would be cool, but I can't see Hasbro doing it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a little obscure for them, I think, but it'd be great to get at least that Wampa pelt, and I believe there was...
I mean, that's one to throw out to the Dio makers on the yards, definitely.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. You could do that. That wouldn't be too hard. It'd be pretty easy to customize that Dark Side Ahsoka, too, with just the regular one, if they don't give us...
So, what were your guys' favorite parts of that... Trandoshan Trophy Room? For me, it was easily that Wampa pelt that Chad was talking about. Chad, what about you? What did you like best from that trophy room?
Well, apparently I have to go back and look, because you found like 10 things that I didn't see, Sean. But I, of course, noticed the Wampa pelt, and I'd probably have to say that Empire Strikes Back is my favorite movie, just like you. So I'd probably have to say that as well. But I know there was supposedly a Rancor in there, and there was something else that someone said. I don't know if it was you or someone else, but I want to say it was like a creature from like another movie franchise that they stuck in the back.
Yeah, it was that crystal skull from the latest Indiana Jones movie, I think.
That's a neat touch. I thought that was a neat touch.
Just one of those homages you were talking about, Chad. I like it.
Yep.
Well, there's been a lot of indie references in the Clone Wars. Just trying to think. In the Ryloth trilogy, one of the things you see loaded onto the shuttle, I believe, is the Ark of the Covenant.
Huh.
If you look careful. And you know the one with Commander Stone in it? The Gungan General? The staff that's carried by the Grand Senator is actually the staff of Ra from Raiders.
Yeah, I remember seeing the staff. I didn't see the Ark of the Covenant, but I saw the staff, and I was like, "Wow, that looks really familiar." And then I realized what it was, and I was like, "They really put that in there? That's so cool."
Yeah, I'm sure the Ark of the Covenant is in the Ryloth episodes, but it's definitely in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it is. Luke Skywalker is messaging me here, and he said it about 30 seconds before you did. He said the Ark's in Ryloth. So, we know he's listening. Oh. And he chimed in with the figures that he wants, which nobody's going to disagree. He wants Delta Squad just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants the Twilight, too.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think the time has passed on that one, don't you?
I think size was putting them off a bit, to be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty big, if you think about it, because you could get one of those escape pods in the back hatch with room. So,
Well, look at the great big the Clone Wars vehicle offering we're getting here shortly, the Republic Attack Shuttle. They said no to that one first off, too.
Yeah, that is true. They do have a history of saying no, and then suddenly it crops up. So, yes. We'll cross our fingers and hope.
Yeah. All right, what should we talk about next, Chad? It's back to you, bud.
All righty, let's see here. We've got... the next one was, we were talking about environments, and we kind of talked about this just a little bit, but I don't think we covered it in all. So your question that you had was, what was your favorite environment for Season 3? And, I have to say, for myself, there's a couple of environments that I really liked. But I really liked the season opener. I really liked the Kamino. I just thought that that was so cool to see Kamino on the Clone Wars, and that, I have to say, that was my favorite. Probably after that, I would say that I liked Felucia or the Mortis trilogy backgrounds and things like that. So what about you, Jen? What was your favorite background or environment?
For me, it was a tie between Felucia and Mortis, just because Mortis was so beautiful one day and then dead the next, and Felucia was just so bright and colorful. I love them both.
Alrighty, and well, what about you, Jay? What did you like?
I'm just sitting in memory-wise, sifting through them all. Definitely Kamino. I thought what they achieved with Kamino was fantastic, considering it was animated. But I actually liked Dathomir. I thought Dathomir was really well done. It sort of caught the essence of what the planet was supposed to be. But, yeah, Felucia as well.
Yeah, and you know, back to the Dathomir thing, Jay. When Asajj Ventress got on that bounty hunter ship and she said, "Take me to Dathomir," I got a bit of a cheer, and I was like, a chill. And I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be cool. This is gonna be cool."
Well, I remember reading Dave Wolverton's The Courtship of Princess Leia, where they crash land on Dathomir. And that's, of course, where the Force Witch is, but in the book, they rode Rankles. But, yeah.
Alrighty. And what about you, Sean?
Well, for me, it is a toss-up between Felucia and the Citadel world. What is the name of that world, or did it have a name?
Oh, it was a half-exploded planet, I know that.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was just referred to as the Citadel.
I love that whole Mustafar lava, dark and bright at the same time, and I really liked all of that flowing lava. I think that just makes for a great environment, and I don't know, it's kind of, it, you know, goes against my grain, as as most of you know, and most people who know of me know, that the wintry frozen environment's my favorite. But I really did like that lava environment. But I gotta side with Jen a little bit. I think if I had to pick between that and Felucia, I think I'd probably pick Felucia, just because of, I think, all of the bright colors make the you know, standard, well, they're not standard, but the regular type paint jobs on our characters and vehicles just stand out more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, some of the lighting actually changes them, doesn't it, completely?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That looks like Felucia, has it?
Yeah. Well, that's a complicated environment to pull off, so it's really just amazing that they pulled it off at all, because even, I mean, it's overwhelming when you look at it, like, especially when you first saw it in Revenge of the Sith, and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then, you know, like, if you played The Force Unleashed, you actually get to go in and play in that environment a little bit, and it's, you know, I would think that would be a very complicated environment to pull off in an animated show.
Actually, when I first saw Felicia, you know what it reminded me of? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, I can see that.
Whereas everything's huge and they're tiny, and just it really did. It sort of screamed, "Honey, I Shrunk the Kids."
I'm just kind of you know, having a, you know, weird, my brain is out there moment again. But wouldn't it be nice to see another Republic Commando first person shooter in that environment?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That would be cool.
There's caves on that planet and everything. There's all kinds of environments that you could get into. That would be, yeah, really cool. Those,
We were just talking, a friend of mine this afternoon, and we were saying how cool it would be if they redid the Battlefront games, but using the Battlefield 2 Bad Company 2 graphics engine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool, too.
Yeah.
So, hey, go ahead, Sean.
So it looks like we segued into since we're talking about Felucia, we segued into, I guess, our specific talk about the first episode of the season finale, Padawan Lost, and I was wanting to talk just a little bit about, for me, the Felucia scene on Padawan Lost was my favorite part of that whole entire, that particular episode. I really liked that, and I guess for the first thing, I'm hoping someone can give me some direction on what, and Jay talked about the lighting on Felucia just changing the colors of things, and Jay, maybe I'll spin this to you first. Jay, what did you think the coloring was on that ATTE gunner that was doing most of the shooting?
Yeah, I mean, he looked a sort of grey-green, didn't he? But it's very difficult to judge when the coloration, the environment change, seems to change the colours. But his markings definitely match that of Sergeant Fury in the Boba Fett trilogy, the gunner with the mechanical skeets. But I would say a grey or green, but I mean, it's a very tricky one to call, I'll be honest.
And that'd be a cool-looking basic carded figure, too.
Definitely.
Jay, don't you think that the details on his helmet looked orange to you? They looked a little orange to me, which would match
It's tricky with the lighting. I mean, the markings were definitely like Fury, but it looked more grey-green. But, I mean, I didn't really sort of, like, pause it and have a really good close-up look. So that's obviously something I'm going to have to go back and have a look at.
Yeah. Well, we talked a little. The next thing that you had here, Sean, was talking about the new wolf, which now we have two new wolves because we had the one from this episode and then we have the one that's coming out next season in the Jump Troopers. But and you said that this was easily the best part of this episode, and I tend to agree with you. But did anybody, maybe Jen, did you have any other thoughts on Wolf and the Jump Troopers?
I really liked that part. That was one of my favorite parts as well. I liked the look of him, and I hope that we see him in a figure.
Oh, yeah. All right. And Jay, we know what you think, but you can have a few minutes to talk about it if you want.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really cool. I mean, this is only, what, the third time we've seen Jump Troopers in the seasons?
Yeah.
Because we saw them in the movie, didn't we?
Right.
We saw them in, is it Downfall of a Droid? Where they jumped from the Twilight onto the listening station. Of course, we see them here. And what with the colouring and the environment with Felucia, it just seemed to make them stand out even more.
Right, and we got to see Comet again, and Sinker and Boost, which you didn't really know they were Sinker and Boost because they had their helmets on, but Ahsoka called their names out, so you knew it was them, and they were actually part of her squad, which I thought was pretty cool, the fact that Ahsoka is Plo Koon's, sort of like, not her, his apprentice, but, you know, he found her and everything, and then he was in the episode with Sinker and Boost, and then Ahsoka's working with them. I thought that was cool how they did that.
Yeah, it was nice to see the characters back again. It's always nice when we reconnect with clones from a previous episode. Let's just hope that Filoni doesn't kill them off.
Yeah. Well, you never know. He might make a Mark Troopers too, because he did that with Echo and Fives. However,
they've had it then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're doing the most dangerous job there.
Well, let's hopefully Waxer and Boyle stay out of that armor.
Seems a bit of a poison chalice, that one.
Yeah. Are you guys having... for me, and Jen, I'll ask you this first, since we, you know, kind of talked a little bit about Ahsoka. Did you think Ahsoka was ready to actually lead the Jump Troopers, no flanking units? Because it's kind of like they just got done... trying to keep her off the Citadel mission because they said she wasn't ready, but then all of a sudden she's leading troopers in the very next show. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that maybe Plo Koon saw something in her that nobody else saw, and maybe she was ready to lead. I think that she's coming into her own in the past couple episodes, and I'm really interested in seeing where we go in future episodes with Ahsoka.
What did you think about Plo Koon lying for her on the Citadel episode?
Well, I think he did it for a reason. Maybe Anakin is being a little harsh with his judgments, and he's becoming a little too attached to his Padawan, and so Plo Koon did what he thought was best, and he lied for Ahsoka.
What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, that's quite good. I mean, I personally think that I go with Jen. I think that Plo Koon has an affinity with Ahsoka that Anakin doesn't. Ahsoka seems to respect and, you know, look up to her master, but Plo Koon's almost like a father figure,
mm-hmm.
rather than a master to her.
Guys, I see a lot of parallels in the relationship between Ahsoka and Plo Koon and the relationship between Anakin and Qui-Gon Jinn, whereas, you know, Anakin always kind of looked to Qui-Gon Jinn as a really wise, capable Jedi, whereas he looks to Obi-Wan more as his equal, and I think that Ahsoka kind of looks at Plo Koon the same way. She looks at Plo Koon as sort of like a wiser, more capable Jedi, but she looks at Anakin still as a superior, but she does question him a lot, and much in the same way that Anakin questions Obi-Wan, and I find a lot of parallels between those two relationships.
I would agree with you on that one, Chad.
Wow, that's pretty deep, Chad. Oh, man.
Blimey, where did that come from?
Well, like Dr. Phil there applied to
Star
Wars, all right.
Well, I think a lot about Qui-Gon Jinn a lot, and I always think about, you know, what would have happened had Qui-Gon had the opportunity to train Anakin, and would he have turned to the dark side, and would Qui-Gon have been more able to direct him in a way where he could conquer his fear and his anger and his ego, but much in the same way that Qui-Gon did. And so, you know, I don't know. I just think about that relationship a lot. I really like Qui-Gon Jinn as a Jedi, and I just, you know, even though he was only in one movie, I really bonded with that character. So I think about him a lot.
You sure are swaying me. I mean, I was getting ready. I was sitting here thinking that I lost a little bit of respect for Plo Koon after he just kind of... Well, and I know one thing. It's good that he definitely doesn't know how to lie, because his lie was so unbelievable. And they just... Anakin and Obi just kind of ended up looking at one another after that, and you just knew what they were thinking. I was like, okay, I guess that's plausible deniability, and we'll leave it at that. But I guess, Chad, I mean, I guess you raised some pretty valid points, so maybe I need to go back and think on that one again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, get back to me if you come up with anything, because we know that you're really looking deep into it, so you never know.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's just kind of like the other thing, too. It's like, you know, the next question I sent all of you, it's like, okay, we've got scenes where she's really, really tough, and she's just doing all kinds of stuff, and then we've got, you know, other scenes where, you know, you have a single Trandoshan that she actually sees, you know, take her out with that net gun. I'm just like, come on, man, she should have threw that net right back on that Trandoshan and smacked him around a little bit.
Yeah, she definitely seems like, you know, when everything is straightforward, when there's no surprises, she seems like she can handle it. But anytime that there's a wild card thrown in, that's when she gets into trouble.
I guess in a way I can maybe kind of, you know, maybe understand that. You know, she's young, she's adolescent, you're going to have those instances where they act real mature, and then, you know, the next day they act like they're 5-year-olds again. So maybe that's just a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it.
I think the guy just got lucky.
Actually, I think, to a certain degree, I think, Jen, I think you're right. I think her focus was elsewhere. because she was just about to scale this wall. She had her attention taken by, you know, the trooper saying, come on up. And just for that split second, her focus wasn't on what she, you know, her radar was turned off, as it were.
Well, didn't the Trando even say, I can't believe my luck?
That's worrying just how well you did that.
Okay, if he's starting on the clicks and the grunts, I'm going to have to get off here, Chad.
I want to see him do a Chewbacca.
That was great.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, the last thing that we had was on this episode was Sean had brought up the point that later on we see Ahsoka take on many Trandoshans and win, and Sean is just like, he's like the kid that's poking holes in all the water balloons in the party. He's like, well, that's a hole right there. Pop, 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 and I'll find in all these. These little flaws in the story, but you know, anybody have an explanation on that one? How's she able to, you know, seemingly take on all those Trandos at once, but then, like he was just saying before, get kind of blindsided by that?
Only an OT guy would be so picky.
Guilty.
Well, he's only had 30 some years.
Hey, that's what you guys get for telling me to go back and watch that thing again. See, I was good. I didn't know any of this stuff until I rewatched it. And I was going like, hey, what's that? What's, hey, what, hey, why'd they do that? Why'd they do that?
This is a Jen question because she's the Ahsoka buff, so.
There you go.
Well, I just think that he got really lucky. Like Jay said, her attention was focused on scaling the wall, and then all of a sudden he just was there. So I just think he got really lucky.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I think when she's fighting them on Wessex or wherever it is, she's more focused. I think when she's focused, she's a lot more effective as a Jedi.
She's a lot more fierce.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
I'm just kind of sitting here thinking to myself, you know, how General Grievous, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, because my canon sometimes leaves me, but wasn't General Grievous the one who, you know, pardon, you know, for lack of better terms, didn't he off Shaak Ti in Revenge of the Sith? Wasn't he the one that did that?
That yes. Was in the deleted scenes.
Right, yeah. I was just kind of thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice to see Ahsoka in adult form? Because to me, she already seems more powerful than Shaak Ti to a certain extreme. I think that outcome might be a bit different.
Yeah, I think she's a wouldn't you say, Jen, she's a much less traditional Jedi than Shaak Ti is?
Yeah, I think so. And I'd love to see her as an adult, because she's already become so powerful now as a youngling, and to see what she would be capable of would be wonderful.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. I'd love to see her grow up and show what she can do, and have her even have her own squadron of clones to command, much the way that Anakin does. I think that would be neat.
Definitely.
Yeah, will we see her, before the Clone Wars series finishes, will we see her become a knight? And perhaps that's why she's not with Anakin on Revenge of the Sith, because she's a Jedi knight, so she's doing her own thing.
Heck with that, Jay. Let's make her a general before we get rid of the Clone Wars. General Ahsoka.
There you go.
Empress Ahsoka.
I'm fine. That's good enough.
Well, you know, you guys kind of hinted at a big question about what's going to happen to her, and I know this isn't in the notes that Sean put together, but I just want to know. I mean, a lot of people think that she has to die, but there's so many different things that can happen to her, and you know, I mean, what do you guys think? We could start with Jen. What do you think would be or what do you think? What direction do you think they're trying to take Ahsoka's story, because she is kind of like, in a way, the main character, you know, between her and Anakin. They kind of share that role.
Well, I'm hoping that they take her story somewhere where she doesn't die.
Right.
Where hopefully she leads her own squadron, she goes to another planet or her story goes somewhere else, but it's still there. I don't want her to be killed off in any way.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it would be a big mistake to just kill her off and then end the show, you know. I think that would be a big mistake. What about you, Jay? What do you think they're trying to do with her character? What do you see as the future?
I'm with Jen. I'd like to see her go on, become a knight, become a general. I would like to see her survive Order 66. I mean, if you read a lot of the sort of EU that's floating between episodes 3 and 4, about 100 Jedi survive Order 66, but they go into hiding. So wouldn't it be cool if Rex, you know, at the breaking point saves Ahsoka and she manages to escape? I think that would be a cool, and then sort of, you know, disappears into the mists, as it were.
Right. And Sean, what about you? I mean, I know that you're still kind of learning the Clone Wars ropes, so to speak, but you got to have some sort of opinion. What do you think they're trying to do with their character?
Are you guys ready for what I want to see happen to her?
Yes.
Oh, God, here we go.
All right. Well, first off, I think it would be one of the, once again, for lack of a better term, stupidest things they could ever do by getting rid of the cash cow that they have in Ahsoka, for number one. I think that would just really be unwise. I mean, it's just like, I think it was Jen and I were talking just a few days ago about, you know, I have a little girl 4 years old, asking who her favorite character was, and I mean, she didn't bat an eyelash. It wasn't OT. I was kind of disappointed. First thing I remember was Ahsoka. So, you know, you've got a four-year-old little girl who really isn't totally into Star Wars like her daddy, who knows that name and that character. So, okay, I think they would be crazy to get rid of her. What I would like to see them do with her, and actually I just got a message from Darth Daddy, Brian, who we interviewed on a previous Custom Action Figure News podcast, and I agree with him. He says he wished they would probably separate her and Anakin a little bit more, so I would like to see her develop a little bit more of her own identity. And like you said, that relationship with Rex, I would actually like to see them somehow get associated with the Republic Commando Karen Travis characters and go into exile and go into hiding with them. And wouldn't she make an excellent gal for Juzik?
Yeah, there you go.
We do know in the canon that some of the ARC troopers and commandos refused to enact Order 66.
Yep, they sure do.
And allowed they disobeyed it, and it was mainly the ARCs and the commandos that did it because they were more free-willed out of all the clones. Mm-hmm. But the problem was then Vader, not only during the Purge did he hunt the Jedi, but he also hunted any clone traitors.
Yep. Oh gosh, I forgot what I was going to say. I had something to say. It'll come back to me. So go ahead, Jenny.
See, I knew that would blow everybody's mind. I want an end to my Republic Commando novels, and man, what a neat way to allow Ahsoka to, you know, reach adulthood and beyond, and still get out with some of my favorite. I mean, they could even take more than just Rex. They could take some of my favorite arcs too. Like, you know, we never did see Echo really fall. We just saw his helmet rolling, so he could still be around, and he could take fives with him,
cool.
and Waxer and Boyle could move on, and they could just get more folks for their, you know, growing family. And
well, they're the clones that seem most affected by the lessons they've learned by serving with the Jedi. I agree with you. The way you got to look at this is that I think most people would agree that Ahsoka is this generation's Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Mm-hmm. What do you reckon, Jen?
Ahsoka is this generation's Princess Leia?
Yeah.
Definitely. I'd say definitely. And you know, what I'd really like to see happen, but I know it won't, Ahsoka and Obi-Wan go into exile together.
Well, he's supposed to go hook up with the Duchess, Satine, at some point. That's who he's...
Yeah, Mando gal. See, there's how Ahsoka could get to Mandalore. There we go. I like it.
Mm. There could be like an underground for smuggling Jedi out of Republic space. A bit like the French did in the Second World War, you know, when the British pilots were shot down, they sort of hid them in lofts and got, you know, in haystacks and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I like it. You know, Sean, I do have a little bit of a bad news in the way of Ahsoka's fate, because I forget who it was who was saying it, but it was on one of the podcasts I listened to, because I listened to like six different Star Wars podcasts.
Come on, Chad, I don't want reality right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, they did say that something along the lines that Yoda's whole aim in giving Ahsoka as a Padawan to Anakin was to get him to deal with his attachment issues, because it's very obvious, we all know that he has attachment issues, and that's what ends up leading to his fall as in becoming Darth Vader, is his inability to let go of you know, the people that he loves. And I would definitely say he has become attached to Ahsoka in that way. And so when you hear that it's set up that way and that's the intention, it's almost like, well, are they going to take her away from him and foreshadow what happens in Revenge of the Sith? I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but it sure does lead one down that road in thinking about it.
Yeah, you're making sense.
actually, when you think about it, you look at Yoda's face at the end of Wookiee Hunt. Look at his expression.
Yeah, he has a little knowing smile at the end, doesn't he?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have to say that also that Luke Spyrocker did give us his theory of what he thinks is going to happen with Anakin, because he's still messaging me here, and you guys aren't going to like this one bit at all, but he thinks that Grievous is going to kill her in front of Anakin, but he does say that's not what he wants to happen. But he thinks that that's what's gonna, you know, he mirrors what I said about Yoda and saying that would add to his pain and that would, you know, definitely be another one of those shoves down the path to the dark side. And especially when you think about the way that Darth Sidious tempts him in Revenge of the Sith, with the whole idea of being able to keep people alive or bring people back to life or whatever it is he says that Darth Plagueis is able to do.
I'm actually going to rain on Mr. Spywalker's parade. He's going to message me now. I can hear it say it. Think back to Revenge of the Sith, and Anakin meets Grievous for the first time. So if Grievous kills Anakin, it kills Ahsoka in front of Anakin. Then you start throwing up all sorts of canon problems.
Right. Well, he has met Grievous. He hasn't met Grievous in the Clone Wars now, has he, Jay?
No, I don't think he has.
They have to keep those two apart.
Not face to face. Only Obi-Wan has.
Right. Yeah, they always send him after Ventress, and Obi-Wan always goes after Grievous, don't they?
I'm getting a message now, so I'm going to get an ear bashing in a minute.
Well, guys, you know, this is, I'm having fun going along these lines, but we better get back in the Wookiee hunt, because this Wookiee's going to have to roll on out of here in about 20-25 minutes.
Yeah, we're already at an hour and 10.
I've just got a message from Luke Spywalker saying, good point, damn you.
Well, Sean, since you brought it up and I kind of took us down that path, why don't you get us back on track here and set up the next part of the topics that you wanted to bring up?
All right, well, this is what I wanted to talk about. And this is actually was part of the article when they asked Filoni in the Star Wars Insider that I was reading today. Do you guys like seeing the original trilogy characters in these episodes, or would you rather them just stay out of it entirely? You know, I'm talking like the big guys, the big players like Chewbacca, and, you know, I mean, who else? Tarkin and those folks. Jen, what do you think about that?
Oh, man. I was just like, I'm so sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Do you like seeing the original trilogy characters in the Clone Wars?
I definitely do. Yes, I do. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to figure out this whole Skype thing. I'm new.
Hey, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Myself included. So, I mean, you don't have any problems with canon, and we just brought that up, I think, you know, maybe Ellie and Jay are fighting about it, but it's like P.L., you know, who died in the Citadel. Wasn't there a novel called, what was it, Coruscant Nights,
yes,
where he supposedly died in that one? I mean, I think that's the only problems. I love seeing the original trilogy characters in the show, as long as they get their time frames right. But it's like when they, I don't know, it's almost like a slap in the face to all of our EU authors and folks whenever they miss a point like that. But on the other line, I can see them, how can you remember all of those things?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you remember all of those things either, and I mean, it's just like, you're never ever going to totally please all of us anyhow, so
right.
As long as we're having fun, you know, why should we care? So, Chad, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I really agree with you, Sean. You know, they I guess a bunch of EU fans got together recently and petitioned George Lucas to tell him basically to stop messing around with the EU, the EU's integrity and quit killing off all these characters and messing up the timeline. But I just have to agree with you in saying that, number one, you can't remember all that stuff because how many books are there? There's hundreds of them. Comic books, even like CD-ROMs, you know, all that stuff that's come out in the last 30 years. There's no.
Hey, I have an idea, Chad.
Alrighty.
How about Filoni hires the four of us and we can be his canon guys?
Sounds like a great idea.
What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Alright, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Since I totally destroyed the train of thought anyway, Brian is messaging me saying that Filoni has already said that Anakin and Grievous will never ever face each other in the Clone Wars.
Which would screw... They seem to be much more concerned with screwing up the film canon rather
right.
than screwing up the books canon.
Well, the
yeah, that was that part about the slap in the face to the,
yeah.
to the authors.
Yeah.
The film is considered to be...
Yeah.
The film is considered to be the canon, and everything else comes after the film. So, yeah, that would, and there'd be no way if they ever had Anakin meet Grievous, there'd be no way they could retcon it with that scene, and they would end up having to just, you know, when they re-release the movies, which they're getting ready to do here pretty soon, they just have to cut that part out or re-edit it. You know, he's not going to do that. So,
I like it. Just jumping back to the question. You asked about the original trilogy characters appearing
right.
in thing. I like it. I like it if it's handled right. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's nice to tie them together to give us some continuity, but it has to be handled right. You know, you don't cheapen the original characters by using them as a gimmick just to promote the Clone Wars, you know. Have them in there by all means, but you know, make it as it should be. Not just we want to promote the Clone Wars. I know. Let's cherry pick a original trilogy character and just throw them in there. You know, just to make things look cool. But I have no objection to original trilogy characters being in the Clone Wars, so long as it's handled right. And I thought with the Chewie one, it actually was done very well.
Well, that brings me up to another question, and Jay, and you just got to it right there. We already heard your opinion. You think they did a pretty good job with Chewie. For me, and this is kind of a two-part question. You can't really talk about one without talking about the other. But for this canon hate-hate relationship that the Wookiees have with the Trandoshans, and then, you know, we see Chewbacca, you know, just gently restraining, you know, the Trandoshan and helping, you know, the one youngling do the Jedi mind trick. I didn't know that's what you needed to do a Jedi mind trick, by the way, just a little Wookiee face slap. But I think the only problem, I think Chewbacca was done pretty well. I think they got his mannerisms pretty good. But and the other part of this, the question was, the violence we're seeing, it's like some days we were very, you know, PG-13-ish, and then the next time, you know, you see, you know, Ahsoka, you know, like back-sabering, you know, the jailer on the Citadel, and I'm just kind of like, I expected to probably see the Wookiees manhandling these Trandoshans a little bit more, like maybe, you know, maybe not showing it, but maybe like the shadow of an arm being ripped out of a socket and thrown over the side or something.
I think you mentioned this before, and right. I had some time to think on this. I think there is a thin line between, you've got to remember, is when they use a saber, it cauterizes the wound, so there's no blood. It's a very, very sterile way of killing someone. Whereas, you know, if a Wookiee rips someone's arms off, it's across that line. Do you know what I mean? You can't make it anything other than a bloody
visceral. It's really
event.
Visceral.
You know, and also the Trandoshans or Trandoshans have a thing with Wookiees because of their planets are so close together. Trandoshans started off hunting Wookiees. They consider Wookiees to be a sort of a worthy foe, as it were. We know from Tales of the Bounty Hunters that that Bosk is desperate to add Chewbacca's pelt to his collection. He's absolutely bent on it.
And part of that same point I had was, I think I don't know if I emailed that in my original email, but the point I was thinking about is like, I think I can do without all of that, with all of those, the back sabering and like the one, did you guys see the shot with Khalifa where, I mean, it showed the entrance and exit wounds, and, you know, there was a little bit of splatter, I do believe, not much, but a little bit. And I was like, you know what, I can deal without all of that. I mean, I dealt without all of that whenever I originally watched, you know, the OT. And I'm just kind of wondering if, you know, what your opinions were on that level of violence that we're starting to see in the Clone Wars. Jen, what do you think about that one?
I agree with you on it. It is supposed to be a kid's show, so I don't think that it should be too violent, and some of the scenes that we have seen lately have been a little bit too violent, I would think, for children under 13. But when it came to the Wookiees, I totally wanted to see some limbs getting ripped off. I was like sitting on the edge of my seat, and I was like, come on, do it, when's he gonna do it?
It's always the quiet ones, isn't it? I think they've become very aware that that there are more and more older children and younger adults, and sometimes older adults watching this show. So they're trying to dial in the level of violence to sort of between those two lines. But like you said, there has been a couple of episodes where they're very, very close to the knuckle for the younger children. But I get the impression, because if you look at Season 3, there are far more darker episodes and far more complex episodes in Season 3 than there has been in Season 2. So it's like they feel that the viewers are evolving with the show, if you're with me.
Yeah.
So that's the way I see it. But obviously they felt that, you know, Wookiees ripping people's arms out is just a little bit too far over that line.
Well, I think...
And as far as the mind trick, before I come up, goes, Trandoshans are resistant to Jedi mind tricks, so a little slap dazed him and dropped his defences.
That's
the way I'd say it.
That's why we
They're very useful.
Yeah. That's why we need Jay on our team, because he knows all of the little EU backstories like that.
I'm truly sad.
No, it's good. That's a perfect explanation for why that didn't work. And I think that as the show progresses and it gets closer and closer to Revenge of the Sith, I think they're just slowly amping up the violence, because the situation, the story itself is getting darker. You know what I mean? Like, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I mean, this is a war that's escalating. Right. You know, they're not going to sit there and hurl insults at each other from across the battlefield. This is a war and it's escalating. And I think they're very mindful of the Mandalorian debacle with the you know, suddenly taking some of the characters that, you know, the fans are very, very passionate about, and suddenly, you know, stripping them of all the everything that made them cool, you know, made them all pacifists. Mm-hmm. I think they're very, very mindful now of doing that.
Yeah.
And Jay, I can definitely see your point about it being war. And that's a very good point. But along the same lines, it's like, you know, that's what A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi was. I mean, we have three different stages of war, but, you know, I don't remember seeing exit blasts on a blaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you did see Ponda Barber get his arm blown off, and that was quite bloody.
Luke gets his hand chopped off, you know.
Depending on which version you get to see. Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, there was no blood, really.
There was in the original.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, I mean, that's semantics. That's semantics you're arguing there, Jay. But I mean, you see where I mean? I mean, I don't... Well, I guess for the age range they're after, I mean, I'm just thinking, I have a very young child, you know, who,
yeah.
Hey, it's a cartoon, I can watch with Daddy, and yeah. I'm telling you, some of those was like, I was having to answer some pretty quick questions.
Well, you only have to look at those Senate episodes. I mean, how many, you know, four-year-old children are going to sit down and completely understand what's going on? They're going to get bored very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I got bored too. I was flipping the episode.
you and me both.
Yeah, me
you know.
Too.
But this is what I'm saying. I mean, and so they're trying a different tack. I mean, you look at, like I said, we're taking the Mortis trilogy again. Look how complicated that was.
Right. Well, I don't think the episodes are any more violent than any video games or anything, you know, else that kids are exposed to. I know, Sean, you have a really young child. And you know, I understand where you're coming from, and I have four children, and I'm perfectly fine with my three older ones watching it, but as my youngest gets a little bit older, I don't know that I would, I don't know that those shows are made for kids those age. I really don't. I agree with Jay in a way, in that
I definitely think it's evolving to an older audience.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that they're getting a lot of feedback from the older audience that they didn't expect to get. And if you look at, like, season one as opposed to this season, there's no comparison, in my opinion. I mean, those shows were so, you know, simple in a way and easy for kids to understand. And like you said, Jay, I don't think that the Mortis trilogy... Like, I know my son, he's 11 years old, and he doesn't sit there and want to watch the Mortis trilogy over and over again like I want to watch it. You know, the only reason he wants to watch it is because he wants to see Qui-Gon Jinn and he wants to see the Force battles, but he doesn't really care about how Anakin discovers whether or not he's the Chosen One. You know what I mean? I mean, like, he listens to that part and he understands it, but that's not why he's watching it. He wants to watch it for the action.
Well, that's why I think we're going to see a lot more action in Season 4. I think they're going to dial it back to the more action-y episodes.
Well, that's what that one little teaser I read to start us all off pretty much indicated. It sounds to me like they're, it's instead of doing the different trilogy, it sounds like, you know, each episode is gonna build upon each other. And before you know, we move on to our next question, Jay, there's Darth Daddy Brian had a point in your favor. He said they did show Beru and Owen kind of burnt and crispy. So there's another little tidbit that I can't
they
argue
did
with
get
that.
BK either. Whoppered a bit, didn't they?
I remember when I saw that scene when I was a little kid, even more than Pondababa's bloody arm, severed arm, that scene really kind of like chilled me a little bit when I was a little kid watching that, because I was like, God, they're like burned to death. That's a horrible way to die, you know. Like, even as a little kid, I was like, oh, that's terrible, you know.
Definitely.
Alrighty, Sean, well, is it my turn or is it your turn?
Well, I think my term, guys. I'm going to have to sign off for now. I'm just about out of time and need a couple minutes to get myself together for the next thing I'm working on. And I have really had a good time. And thank you for allowing me to pick your brains about the Clone Wars, folks.
All right. Well, thank you, Sean.
See you, Sean.
Bye, Sean.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right. Alrighty, guys. Well, we're getting through Sean's agenda here pretty well. There's a whole other page here, but I don't think we're going to be able to get to it because we're really almost at our time now. We've got about 5-6 minutes left here. But I think this question here that I'm about to ask will be a really good one to wrap everything up with. And what he had here was, did you think that this season 3, ended too quick after resolution? Sean says that he was hoping to see them go to Kashyyyk and maybe pick up Yoda and travel all the way back to Coruscant and maybe another bounty hunter scene and all of this stuff. And Tarful there for you, Jen. He was hoping to see Tarful. So what do you think? And I'll start with Jen here. Jen, what do you think? Do you think this season ended too quick?
I do. I mean, because they were showing the previews for Wookiee Hunt for half the season, and I was just waiting and waiting and waiting, and then it was like the last 5 minutes they showed Chewbacca, and I just wish that they would have showed more, and I think that everything that Sean was talking about would have been great. Kashyyyk and Yoda, even traveling back to Coruscant.
Yeah,
I think it just ended all way too quick for me.
Yeah, I kept thinking there was a couple of more episodes on after these two. I didn't realize really that the Padawan Lost and Wookiee Hunt was the season finale until almost like 2 weeks before it, when everybody started chatting about it online and everything. So anyhow, Jay, what do you think? Do you think that this season ended too quick?
I mentioned this, I think, to yourself and Sean about this, is that I felt that Wookiee Hunt was a really good episode, but it didn't feel like a finale.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like one. I think a lot of people have said this. It could have quite easily sat in the middle of the season, you know. It didn't have that edge at the end. But yes, I definitely agree with you that it seemed to cut off quite quickly. I mean, aside from Chewbacca, my personal thing is I would have liked to have seen Anakin and Obi-Wan converse with Sugi.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see that connection, them reconnect again. But like you said, it seemed to be a bit rushed at the end.
Yeah, I actually think, Jay and Jen, that ending the season with the Citadel trilogy would have been a much tidier way to end it, with that little sort of stay tuned thought at the end where Ahsoka has half the information and Tarkin has half the information, and that's kind of a little bit of how they ended last season with putting Boba Fett in jail, and is he going to break out, and it just keep you thinking and keep you wanting more all summer long, which I know I did, I'm sure you guys did as well. I think they could have pushed Citadel trilogy to the end. And then
it makes you wonder, doesn't it, if you look at it, doesn't maybe Wookiee Hunt and Padawan Lost should be before the the Citadel trilogy. Yeah. You sit it, if you order it in your mind, it makes more sense to run that way, and it makes me wonder whether they might have changed the running order.
I put a lot of thought to that, which is why I wanted to bring it up. But go ahead, Jen, with what you were going to say.
Oh, I was just going to say he's right, you know, and I think if they could have done without all of the political episodes in the beginning and given us more of the action episodes like The Citadel and Wookiee Hunt and Padawan Lost, it would have been a lot better of a season.
I think Dave Filoni has actually said that we will never see the likes of the political episodes again.
Yeah.
Well, good.
I'm sure he's saying that. I think they now realise that it was a little bit too far.
Yeah, it's only taken them 2 years to figure that one out, right?
although I did like Evil Plans, because I liked seeing 3PO and R2 squabbling again. I thought that very harked back to the original trilogy.
Yeah, I found a lot of comedy in the fact in the scenes where Cad Bane is questioning 3PO, and 3PO just doesn't know anything. You know, he's just got it all wrong, Cad Bane. He thinks that 3PO has all these secrets and whatever, and he's got the wrong.
I like the fact he's being tortured, and R2's getting buffed up.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was like, yeah, R2's in the spa getting buffed up and everything, and 3PO is, you know, getting tortured, basically. But then, you know, R2 ends up getting his in the end. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So the last little thing here was Sean wants to know, how do you think this episode finale ranked up there with the other episodes for you? He really likes the finale, but you know, of course, you know, he's not as into the Clone Wars, or he will soon be as into the Clone Wars as we all are. He really liked it. I liked the episodes. I just don't think they were a finale. So how would you rank it? How would you rank it up there, Jay?
Actually, I'm with you. I think they were good episodes, but I actually think the finales for season 1 and 2 were better because they felt more like a finale episode.
Yeah.
But I know that's not detracting from the fact that I enjoyed Wookiee Hunt. I enjoyed Padawan Lost. It didn't feel like a finale.
Alrighty, and Jen, how would you rank the 2-part finale up there with the other episodes?
I have to agree with you. I think that they're the best episodes that I've seen, in my opinion. But I just don't really think that they were finale material.
All right. Well, guys, I think that's about it. Like I said, Sean has a whole other page on here. But we're going to have to probhaply... Actually, there's 1.5 pages here that he's got that we didn't get to, but...
We'll have to have a sequel.
Yeah, we'll have to do a sequel. I think we can do that, no problem. It's been great, and... So, any final thoughts? I wanted to see, you know, if you guys had any final thoughts, because usually what I end up doing is, at the end of these shows, is I have Sean wrap up, you know, with anything else that he wants to say, but as you know, he's taken off. So, final thoughts on anything from Season 3, or anything that you'd like to add? How about you, Jen? Have any final thoughts?
I'd just like to say thanks for having me on the show, and... when you get a chance, check out my show if you haven't watched it. It's the Kessel Run Review on YouTube.
All right, very good. Yes, definitely go check out her videos. I know, and I think I can speak for you as well, Jay, that I sit around waiting for the next one to come.
Definitely. I mean, I as you know, I do YouTube myself. And actually, Jen now ranks up as the second channel that I go to after, obviously, my mate Steve. So I go straight to the Kessel Run Review. I'm usually watching it about 10 seconds after she's uploaded it, and it's a brilliant show. As far as thoughts on the end of the Clone Wars, it's rock on Season 4.
Right. Yeah. The trailer that they have for it just has me, my head spinning, which they did the same thing last year, you know, with the trailer that they put on the end. It's just like, oh, I can't wait. This is going to be so great. And, you know, They just have a little bit of something in there, I think, for everybody. So
and how much are we going back to the animated series? We've got the Battle of Mon Calamari.
Yes, that looks awesome.
Yes. Yes, well, yeah, that definitely, and I think everybody is pretty sure that that's probably Admiral Ackbar. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, definitely. He looked like Ackbar.
Yeah, I think it is, too. So we can only hope that we get the line, "It's a trap!" Sorry, I just had to do that. I just had to. I'm sorry.
You had to slip that one in, didn't you?
I'm an Ackbar fan. He's one of my favorite. I just love that guy. Every time he's on the screen, I just get a big old smile on my face. So,
well, it's got to be it's a crap because was it Stick Close to Holding Sector? MV7 is not really good work in that one, is it?
Well, my other favorite line is, "Our cruisers can't repel firepower of that magnitude."
This is going to descend into stars in your eyes, Star Wars.
Yeah. All right, well, we better stop before we're ahead. So, all right, well, you can definitely check out Jen's show. It's called The Kessel Run Review, and you can find it on YouTube. It's awesome. She does some really innovative Star Wars reviews. Not like any... There's a lot of Star Wars reviewers on YouTube, but she does something a little bit different. It's really cool. There's always something new that she adds in. And you can always find Jay on Imperial Shipyards, and he's also Rasputin 37 on YouTube. He has hundreds of Star Wars figure reviews that you can go on and check out, and I highly encourage you. I know many of his reviews have helped me gather my thoughts on what I want to buy as far as Star Wars figures goes. If you want to contact Sean, better known as Tamer, he is tamer@imperialshipyards.net. And if you want to send me any questions, thoughts, or any feedback, I highly welcome it. You can find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page now. It's Lucas Clones. There's a space in there. Please favorite the page for Custom Action Figure News, because I cannot get a username and password for the page until I have 25 fans, and I think I'm holding at like 20 or 21 right now. So if you haven't gone on and favorited the Facebook page for Custom Action Figure News, please do that. And if you want to send me an email, it's chad.cafnpodcast@yahoo.com. Thank you everyone for listening, and from Lucas Clones and Tamer, may the Force be with you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You have just listened to Custom Action Figure News, a podcast by Lucas Clones and Tamer. Previous casts can be found by hitting the Custom Action Figure News button on the main page of ImperialShipyards.net or by visiting LucasClonesCustoms.blogspot.com. Let us know what you think, or send in your burning question via email to chad.cafnpodcast@yahoo.com. or tamer@imperialshipyards.net. You could hear your email on the next cast. Custom Action Figure News is neither affiliated with, sponsored, nor endorsed by Lucasfilm or Star Wars, which are trademarks of their respective companies. Stay tuned for the next cast of Custom Action Figure News, dedicated to spreading the good news of customizing to the fans, by the fans, and for the fans. Thank you.